HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. We've just gotten a brand new read on the economy and the jobs market. Employers added 199,000 positions in November. That's up from the 150,000 increase the month before, which was hampered by auto and entertainment industry strikes. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Although job openings are starting to come down, we have not yet seen widespread layoffs, and that's really good news. The labor market has really been a source of strength, especially to those workers who are contending with higher prices. The hope is that wage gains that people have received over the last few years, that they hold as prices continue to go down.
November's gains were mostly in the areas of health care and government. The unemployment rate went from 3.9% to 3.7% in November. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin leaders are said to be close to a deal with Republican leaders of the state legislature to free up pay raises for UW employees. The deal would reportedly reclassify a third of the system's diversity, equity, and inclusion employees and put a three-year freeze on hiring more. The deal would also reportedly open the way for a new engineering building at UW-Madison. The Ice Age National Scenic Trail is officially part of the National Park Service. The trail stretches 1,200 miles from northwest Wisconsin down to the Madison area and up to Door County. It's long been administered by the Park Service with help from local organizations and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Now it will get more federal money and have a place in the NPS's guidebooks. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Altoona is exploring the possibility of expanding their bus service in the city. A proposed change would expand Bus Route 17 to better serve the east side of Altoona, and the city council is looking for public input on the plan. The additional service would cost the city about $184,000 as opposed to the $115,000 it spent in 2023. The proposed route would also need to be approved by the Eau Claire Transit Commission and both city councils. A new Wisconsin law will bring some clarity to the language surrounding the mailing of absentee ballots in the state. Under the updated law, Wisconsin residents who plan to vote absentee in the upcoming presidential primary election will receive their ballots 21 days in advance, with Wisconsin residents voting from overseas or stationed in the military receiving their ballots 47 days prior to the election. Lawmakers hope the update will help streamline the absentee ballot process and offer more clarity and fairness to Wisconsin voters.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Badgers head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team will take on the number one ranked team in the country, the Arizona Wildcats, tomorrow at 2:15 in Tucson. Wisconsin now ranked 23rd after beating Marquette and Michigan State. The Badgers women's volleyball team now in the Elite Eight. Wisconsin with a win over Penn State 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are coming home after losing to the Pacers 128-119 in the in-season tournament. Giannis had 37 points and 10 rebounds. He talked about the tournament's format finally making it to America.
It was kind of strange when I came around here 10 years ago that the NBA wasn't doing that. It was only the championship. But I think just brings a lot of meaning, you know, to the games. And you play a game like this at 2 p.m. here, 4 p.m. Milwaukee. So it's around 10 p.m. in Greece. Like, if people stay up and watch the game.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high of 50. Tonight, slight chance of rain, a low of 33. Some rain, maybe some snow mixed in for Saturday, highs around 37. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 22. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 31. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Right now, it's 37.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can dig it.
Stop
right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, Calvin, what's going on, man?
Not much, Earl. It's a sunny Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday, man. You know, my co-host doesn't care whether it's Monday or Friday.
Every day is Saturday. I don't even consider this work. Every day is I decide what I want to do and then I do it. It's great.
Is that what retirement is?
Yeah, that's what it can be. If you're lucky enough, I have been blessed to be able to retire, and yeah, it's great.
How long have you been retired?
11 years.
11 years.
It's almost a career.
I don't even know how long I've been retired, because this, like you said, this is not work.
No. I look forward to this.
Yeah.
Although this morning there's no joy in Mudville, yeah. At least if you're a basketball fan of Mudville.
Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you, you and I love the Bucks, and
they got work to do.
Well, we should have had Calvin play taps before we started the show, because just having great individual talent does not make a great basketball team, right?
No, and in fact, I think the introduction of the European style of basketball that Doncic and these various Eastern European, in particular, basketball players have brought to the NBA demonstrate that. They aren't the greatest athletes. You know, you could take Doncic, and his athletic talent doesn't match some of the great athletes in the NBA. But is he one of the greatest basketball players? Yes. You know, because he knows what to do with the ball. He magnifies the ability of everyone else on the court. He gets lots of assists. You know, I think the Bucks would do well to spend their time trying to measure how many assists they can get in a game and not how many points.
So Sandy, there's no question that the ball can get to a point faster by passing it. I don't care how fast you can dribble.
Right.
But if you pass the ball,
exactly,
the guys can't catch up, and sooner or later, guys are going to get open shots. And the NBA has changed. There was a time, Sandy, when you and I were young, the scores were 65-50.
Well,
they played defense.
Then there were two styles. There was half-court basketball. It was rugged defense, and there was fast-break basketball. And teams were sort of one or the other, sometimes both. But defense was a big part of it. And yeah, 100 points was a number to break rarely, not right. frequently.
And you know, athleticism was not the call of the day back then. You didn't have to be a great athlete to play in the NBA back then.
Well, I think they were great athletes, but they didn't, you know, I think Michael Jordan was the first of the profound. I mean, Oscar Robertson was a great athlete. Some of these guys were Bob Cousy. Some of these guys were sort of magically good at stuff. But Michael Jordan was the beginning, I think, of the profoundly great athleticism taking hold. But then, unfortunately, the NBA, maybe it has to do with selling tickets, but they feel like they have to have marquee players, and the players that are marquee have to score lots of points to make the fans happy and to make the player happy. And personally, I'd rather have us count the team points and not the player points.
Well, you know, people like scoring.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, you know, and so it's the same thing with football. They've always tried to change it so, you know, it's easier for points to be scored.
You know, you are right about the point focus because I remember a great player. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great players ever. Great spokesman for the game, Bill Russell. He never scored lots of points.
No.
He was just the world's best center, right?
Yeah, rebounding, defense.
He was at passing. His teams won games always.
They don't sell out arenas to see pro games 76 to 75. And so, you're what they charge for seats. People want excitement. And that's kind of what they do. But I clearly think, man, there's something to be said for teamwork. And that whole team concept is always going to beat, you know, individual players. And because if you looked at the Bucks players individually, they've got just some great guys who can really score.
Well, they've got a couple, you know, they've got one now, but they've always usually had a couple that were on the all defensive team, but we just aren't playing defense now.
No.
So, you know, there's something's got to, well.
Well, the other part of it is we're not playing defense because, a guy 28, 29, well, 30, 33 is going to have his hands full with a 20-year-old who can jump through the gym. And so most of these teams are loaded with young players. And the Bucks are still, what, the oldest team in the league?
Are we the oldest now?
Either the first or the second.
That's interesting because, 8 years ago we were the youngest team.
Yeah.
When Giannis first came up and we had all the young players, I guess they've all just matured together.
Well, they won a championship, and Giannis demands a championship. And I tell you something, he said something after the game yesterday that just continued to let me know that I think he's the problem. He pointed out that the second team has got to play better. The guys who come in after us, they've got to play better. They're not playing well. How do you say that and think that you're going to have a team or chemistry when the guy points you out and he's taking all the shots and you come in and it's rare that you even get a shot, right? Because these guys are being selfish with the ball, and now you sit back, and that was one of the reasons why Portis was upset, is that he didn't get much playing time.
Right.
You know. And and clearly they're better when he plays than when he doesn't play. And so they went to a smaller rotation. And that kind of cost them the game, I think.
Well, I don't, we can talk forever about it, but I'm just hoping they get a grip on it and particularly get a grip on playing defense because, I think they've given up they're near the top in the league in terms of how much their opposition scores. You know, they're near the top of the league of how much they're scoring, but, in the championship, you don't count on scoring, you count on defense.
Well, they gave up another 128 points yesterday. The other part, and the last part of it, and the last thing I'll say about it is, Sandy, they're 20-some-odd games into the season. This is who they are. I don't think you can turn a switch and now they're going to play defense. the rest of the season. This is who they are. And what we have right now, I think, is what we're going to get. But anyway, a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, man. I wanted to talk about, you and I were talking about before we came on the air, another 200,000 jobs created.
Yeah.
How is this happening? How is it still growing, and yet people are still not a part of it?
Well, I've read some interesting things over the week about our jobs, the state of the economy, and particularly the state of jobs, job growth, job friction, because we continue to have a couple of million jobs looking for people to work, and yet we have unemployed people looking for jobs. And we have underemployed people looking for better paying jobs, and they aren't finding each other, or they aren't capable of doing the job that is open to be done. And so the economists and everyone are sort of scratching their heads about how do we get a better matchup here? How do we help the people who are looking for these jobs find all these available jobs? Now, the number of available jobs is going down somewhat because the economy is cooling off some. But in the most recent report about the new jobs that are being created and the place where jobs are demanded, where the job deficiencies exist, which are the same places, it's an interesting commentary on our economy, because the biggest sector for job growth is the health industry. Okay, it's hospitals, it's the care industry, it's the sector that takes care of elderly Americans. And then the next biggest sector is basically the service industry, and we're talking about restaurants and that sort of service. And the sector that isn't growing at all rapidly is manufacturing. It's growing just a little bit. And then the finance sector is shrinking. And so the American economy, this is a reflection of the American economy. Over 18% of our GDP almost, it depends on the GDP growth each year, but in the 18 to 20% range of our GDP is the healthcare industry. So that's way different than what used to exist in 1970 when you and I were young, right, coming into the economy. I think when we talked about this, you had some really interesting job data reflecting the situation here in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee over the years.
You know, Sandy, when we come back, I'm going to mention what those are, because that probably is the same thing when we talk about the jobs that were available in the 1970s, it doesn't matter. You could go up to Rhinelander and it would be the same thing.
Yes.
Manufacturing.
Yeah.
Manufacturing.
Paper industry was dominant in Wisconsin. We were the biggest paper making state in the country, and the United States made more paper than anybody else. All across the state, we had unionized manufacturing jobs, and they were growing.
But Sandy, manufacturing, there's been all these, you know, Trump saying, I'm going to bring manufacturing back. Biden saying, we're going to bring they're not going to bring manufacturing back.
Well, the fact is that manufacturing has shrunk to the point that if you grew manufacturing by 10%, it's still not a big number.
Because technology is.
Well, technology. Now, the one good thing that's happening in the current world is the productivity of workers is going up. That means that the economy will need fewer workers. That's the case. But it also means that pay scales can go up. And part of this job data that was good was the fact that the most recent period showed a 4.1% salary gain as compared to an inflation rate that was down in the 3% range. So we've got real wage growth.
Don't touch that dial. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell, spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
93.5 The Tap. K.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have some snow and mistletoe and pray.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, let me do this, because just for, you know, the sake of argument, in 1970 in Milwaukee, the top 10 largest employers, seven of them were manufacturing.
And as you go through them, we'll talk about which ones even exist today.
Alex Chalmers had 11,500 employees.
Yeah, they went bankrupt and went out of business in the 80s.
A. O. Smith had 8,000 employees. That's where I worked. Briggs & Stratton had 7,400. AC Electronics, AC Delco, we used to call it,
yep,
had 5,000.
Yeah, they're not here anymore.
Harness Vega had 4,500. American Motors.
Mm-hmm, not here anymore.
Had 4,500. Slits had 2,800.
Yeah, they're gone.
Pabst had 2,600.
Done, gone.
And Miller had 2,400. Now, what's important about those 10 is they all paid a livable wage.
Well, they were all unionized. And
yes.
Paying. And in fact, you had some data about, that was comparing, I guess, black families' income, median income. But, you know, the income in Milwaukee, in this manufacturing space of Milwaukee, I'm sure, as a relative to the rest of the country, I'm sure the median income in Milwaukee has gone down as the result of the loss of all of those jobs and the shift towards... What's the current makeup?
So we talked about those 10 jobs. Top 10 jobs were either manufacturing or brewing.
Brewing.
And in 2021, the 10 top jobs in Milwaukee, Advocate Aurora Healthcare, 29,000.
Yeah, that's twice as
employees.
That's twice as many as Alice Chalmers, the top employer, had.
Almost three times.
Well, 29,000. So 15,000 was what you read for. Alice Chalmers.
No, 11,500.
Oh yeah, almost three times.
Almost three times.
Yeah.
Freighted Healthcare, 13,000. Ascension Wisconsin, 11,000. Medical College of Wisconsin, 7,000. Children's Hospital, 6,000. So we've gone from manufacturing
to healthcare. Well, and like I've said repeatedly, our economy, one of the things that exposes both the brokenness of our healthcare system and the fact that our economy is sort of hollow is the fact that between 18 and 20% of the GDP, depending on the year, in the United States is expended on healthcare, which is, you know, it's an important service sector, but it's not a productive sector.
But Sandy, there went the middle class. When you took the industry out, the manufacturing, those were all middle class jobs where father worked, mother stayed home.
Yeah, yeah.
All of those companies that I mentioned, one breadwinner.
Yeah, one breadwinner got you to the median income in the country and got you the American dream.
With full benefits.
Yeah.
Vacations, insurance,
healthcare,
pensions,
yeah,
healthcare.
Right.
So now we're talking about Milwaukee here, Sandy, but it would be no different if we were talking about, you know, Rhinelander.
Right, Bayfield, La Crosse. Absolutely. You know, La Crosse.
Oshkosh, Eau Claire.
Yeah, La Crosse had a big brewing center. It was a Heilman Brewing Company there. It was a big employer. It's not there anymore.
So let's be honest, Sandy. That sector of the middle class is gone. These healthcare facilities, although they employ people, they'll never replace.
Well, and here's the thing about those healthcare jobs. The jobs that don't require training don't pay well. Okay,
right.
So if you're in healthcare and you end up being someone who transports people from one place to another or cleans, operates on that side of the coin, you're not getting a middle class income at that point. And if you are going to earn well, like a nurse and the healthcare providers, that requires extensive training.
Right.
So it's not easy to plug anybody into these jobs when they become available, which is far different than these manufacturing jobs that we were talking about in the 70s, because, you know, it didn't require extensive training. You got trained on the job, and the jobs were available to many people who stopped education at high school and moved directly into jobs.
You're talking about me. So Sandy, we're not going back, right?
Right.
So
and the problem with the promises of Donald Trump or others that we're going to return to the United States to this manufacturing center, we'll return Wisconsin to being the hub of manufacturing that it was, is that that's not the way the world economy is built anymore. And with increased productivity, there is this promise that a differential in pay scale, that wages, higher wage countries are going to still be able to stay in manufacturing, like they have in Germany, for instance.
Germany never gave up its manufacturing.
No, because they continued to focus on highly specialized, high quality manufacturing as the premium. But when it becomes possible to make things with fewer workers anywhere, yes, the United States could continue to do manufacturing, but at that point, the global companies that are making things and selling them all over the world will put their manufacturing close to their marketplace. So as Apple just has announced, they're going to start making iPhones, not just in China, but in India. Okay, well, India, that, you know, we can say, well, they're doing it in India because of the availability of labor. Yeah, well, but their plants are highly automated. They're really doing it in India because India is a huge marketplace, a huge market.
Sandy, how can I forget the big motorcycle, Harley Davidson. Harley Davidson used to produce all their motorcycles in Milwaukee.
Right.
They built plants in China and other places, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you make everything in Milwaukee and ship it all over the world, you've got to bear those shipping costs. Okay. And you've got to compete with manufacturers who are located closer to the market you're trying to capture. And so that became a problem. And when Brazil and Russia and other countries began to make the things that our heavy equipment manufacturers make, we ran into that kind of competition. And our manufacturers, the one who were able to keep their heads above water and stay in business, started locating their plants elsewhere.
844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Don't touch that dial.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap, online at thetap.fm.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers is mixed. If unions win their lawsuit against Act 10, they hope it could help Wisconsin's teacher shortage. Teachers want to be able to collectively bargain, just like police and firefighter unions get to. Maddie Toff is a teaching assistant at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Having really strong education through academia as well as in public schools is really important for training the next generation, but also recruiting people.
The TA's union is one of the parties suing to get Act 10 overturned. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Dozens of protesters gathered in Eau Claire on Thursday to share their voice in support of Palestine. The protest took place in front of Eau Claire City Hall as the conflict between Israel and Hamas reaches its second month. According to a WEAU report, one organizer of the protest said they didn't spread the word of the event due to safety concerns, but many people passing by the protest in Eau Claire showed their support by honking their car horns. The organizers hope the protest will encourage passersby to research the situation. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is warning residents and food retailers to dispose of certain brands of applesauce due to lead poisoning. The applesauce brands are Wanabana Apple Cinnamon Fruit Puree Pouches, Schnucks Cinnamon Flavored Applesauce Pouches, Schnucks Applesauce Variety Pack, and Weiss Cinnamon Applesauce Pouches. The Department of Health Services is investigating three suspected cases of lead poisoning in the state, and a national recall has been issued. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Badgers head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team will take on the number one ranked team in the country, the Arizona Wildcats, tomorrow at 2:15 in Tucson. Wisconsin now ranked 23rd after beating Marquette and Michigan State. The Badgers women's volleyball team now in the Elite Eight. Wisconsin with a win over Penn State 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are coming home after losing to the Pacers 128-119 in the in-season tournament. Giannis had 37 points and 10 rebounds. He talked about the tournament's format finally making it to America.
It was kind of strange when I came around here 10 years ago that the NBA wasn't doing that. It was only the championship. But I think just brings a lot of meaning, you know, to the games. And you play a game like this at 2 p.m., 2 p.m. here, 4 p.m. in Milwaukee. So it's around 10 p.m. in Greece. Like, if people stay up and watch the game.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high of 50. Tonight, slight chance of rain, a low of 33. Some rain, maybe some snow mixed in for Saturday, highs around 37. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 22. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 31. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Right now, 35.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
It's all cold down along the beach.
Hurricanes whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time? You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. You guys in trouble out here.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, some things are happening to the Republican Congress that it really is kind of putting them on a footing that may cost them their majority. What was the guy's name that they just...
George Santos?
George Santos, that they just got rid of.
So soon we forget. Well, maybe that was his name. We don't know. He was he said that was his name.
McCarthy throwing in the towel.
Yeah, apparently if you're a Republican speaker, you quit. Because you realize that the world is...
Yeah, but he said he would never quit.
I know, and now he's quitting. He said he's not giving up the fight. He's going to stay in politics somehow. I suspect it's going to be staying in politics with more compensation.
Lobbyists or something like that?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out. He gave a very strange sort of valedictory departure talk. But, yeah, he's gone.
So Matt Gaetz... Now, several Republican House members, many of whom are still angry at Gaetz for his antics that have impeded McCarthy and the majority of the Congress from passing legislation, have begun to discuss ongoing investigations by the House Ethics Committee in the wake of the exposure of embattled former Republican George Santos. We forget, but, you know, Matt Gaetz was clearly... People were saying that he was involved in some molestation.
Yeah, it was some consorting with underage women. But, you know, wow. I mean, the Republican caucus seems to be involved with everything but the public interest, quite frankly. They have one shiny object after another, whether it's some internal problem, a personality problem within their caucus, or whether it's focusing on ad hominem issues. The impeachment of Joe Biden has been percolating sort of below the surface for all this time. They're now trying to bring it to the fore, I think, right on the eve of the campaign to see if they can't create some drama that will affect the election. But what we haven't seen is from the caucus an interest in solving America's problems. They seem to be interested in solving the partisan problems that involve basically the Republican drive to have power. You know, I mentioned this Dwight Eisenhower quote that had to do with if a party does not present policies that are aimed at solving America's problems, then it's just a conspiracy to seize power. And I would accuse the Republicans today of simply being involved with a conspiracy to seize power because they aren't presenting any sort of programs that solve problems. They're talking about things that they describe as problems, but they aren't Tom, Dick, and Mary's problems.
Do you think that based on especially some of the things that are being said here, many Republicans who want to see Gaetz drummed out of office. And if you just add the numbers up, what did they have? 3 or 4 member majority?
Yeah, I think after Santos leaves, they have a four vote leeway. If they lose 4 votes, they lose their majority on any particular matter. So that's pretty tight. I'd be surprised if they do it to Getz, because I think the members who voted to get rid of Santos talked about being reluctant to get rid of someone who hasn't been convicted. And so Getz has these allegations about him, but I think that ethics investigation would have to uncover some pretty significant smoking guns to give them the basis for voting him out.
Look, he has the ire of many conservatives and Republicans because he's the reason McCarthy's gone.
Well, he is part of the Freedom Caucus, and all they have to do is have 5, 6, 7 Republicans stand by him, and they don't have the votes unless the Democrats joined in the vote, which who knows. But it takes, it takes 60%
right
to vote out. So I think I would agree that I don't think that's something that needs to be used very often, because you can see how it could be used and abused badly.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned Hunter Biden. Listen, I've said it from the onset. Hunter Biden has lived a charmed life, and so if he's done these things that clearly it looks like he's done, then he needs to suffer the consequences like any other.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, what I say is that, you know, there is now the Biden's family is saying, well, if he wasn't a Biden, this wouldn't be happening to him. Well, I think that people who volunteer for high public office have to understand that they're putting not only themselves, but everyone who relates to them under a microscope, and they can expect to be treated microscopically with respect to the good deeds and the bad. And, the fact is that the allegations now, the allegations against Hunter Biden in this most recent indictment include a couple of $1 million of avoided taxes and an effort to defraud the government in the process by having fraudulent deductions, et cetera. So, you know, I think that the truth needs to be followed and it needs to be pursued, and it's important that all people be held to the law. And I think the Republicans who are cheering for the indictment and the pursuit of Hunter Biden have to understand that the flip side of that is not getting in the way of the pursuit and the indictment of Donald Trump, who's also a public figure.
Well, I don't understand, Sandy, why that's so difficult for people to understand. That should be elementary. You can't call for Hunter Biden and the Biden family, to pay the price, and at the same time say that it's a witch hunt on Donald Trump. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. And even though there are people who are going to try to make it make sense, it does not. Hunter Biden should suffer the consequences. I don't have any inkling of doubt that Hunter Biden did some things. And then to hear people say, well, you know, he was addicted to drugs. That's no excuse. You break the law, whether you're addicted to drugs or not. The law doesn't say, Sandy, you know, you're a bastard. Well, doesn't say.
Well, the Wisconsin prisons are filled with people who have that same excuse, right? And many of those people had resided in the city of Milwaukee. We should not, there should not be a difference based on financial capacity to make an argument, right? I mean, if you have a fancy lawyer who can make an argument on your behalf with respect to drug addiction, and the notion that that's a defense against crime, then we ought to present that same opportunity to the poverty-stricken folks who are drug addicted, who commit crimes, because it all relates.
You know, that Hunter Biden laptop and all those things, put it on the table, get it worked out now before the election. And then the people who've been calling for that, you know, make sure it gets done. But then on the other side, same thing with Donald Trump. Well, they're interfering with the election, you know, as Donald Trump is saying. They're interfering with my opportunity to become president of the United States. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, and the other thing is that Donald Trump would like to make this out as if Joe Biden from the Oval Office is instructing prosecutors in Georgia, prosecutors all across the country who have brought all these different cases against Donald Trump, that this is a conspiracy witch hunt directed by the Bidens to obstruct the election and to obstruct Donald Trump's ability to get elected. I mean, it's very far-fetched, but it's repeated all of the time. And as Donald Trump has said, which he learned, I think, from Goebbels, who was Hitler's propaganda minister, if you repeat something often enough, whether it's true or not, people will believe it. And Donald Trump obviously lives by that, okay? He repeats things. He's a marketing genius in this respect. Everyone gets a nickname, Crooked Joe Biden. You know, if you say that every time, whether or not Joe Biden is crooked or not, it begins to get implanted into people's mind that the word crooked matches up with Joe Biden. And if you talk about de sanctimonious, okay, now you've characterized someone and it sinks into their brain, whether it's true or not.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. As I listened, you know, I won't get enough time to actually explain proof. I was wondering how long you'd get to the nine counts of Hunter Biden. It's not about Hunter Biden, Sandy. It's about the 2 years prior to this, the cover-up that was going on. Remember, he wasn't going to be charged till the Republicans want accountability.
Hey, CJ, so we're not going to...
The fact that you guys deflect with the Milwaukee Bucks, and jobs.
CJ, really, we have a radio show, and we talk about a whole variety of things, and we are not everything about this radio show is not centered around whether Donald Trump gets elected or not, or whether Joe Biden. Our discussion of the Bucks was hardly a deflection. It was what Earl and I enjoy talking about, and which some of the listening audience might enjoy listening to. So you know. Wow.
Well,
to be honest with you, what I'm struck by with that conversational path is that everything, apparently, from that standpoint, is centered around the question of Biden versus Trump. Earl, if you and I talk about basketball, we're deflecting. This is simply an opportunity to not talk about, I guess what, the elephant in the room. The fact is, what we did talk about Hunter Biden was that, yeah, let the chips fall where they may.
Let me, because we don't have enough time to go back to the phone lines until after we take a short hiatus. But, you know, this is Sandy and Earl's show, and we'll talk about what we want to talk about.
I just think that what we should do is listen. I'm listening to CJ every time he calls, and I'm trying to understand, because I suspect that I think he reflects an outlook that people have. And what I'm struck by in that conversation was that, in his mind, our incapacity to talk about anything but Biden and Trump, or the notion that this show is totally related to politics and to presidential politics, and that everything we do is strategized around that. Like, the purpose for our conversation about the Bucks was to deflect. I mean, just think about the sort of, it's kind of a political narcissism. Okay. Everything is about politics, and anything you do will be looked at through that prism.
Well, Sandy, we've got a lot of other things we're going to be talking about this morning as well. And so, you know, we're not going to waste a lot of time worrying about what anybody else thinks from that perspective. A lot of things to talk about. It's a big world and many things going on. So hang on. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Maybe the change of seasons, the smell of chestnuts roasting on an open fire, children laughing.
This guy's got a beautiful voice.
That's Christmas.
Except this guy, I guess I'm not recognizing
this. His name is Howard Hewlett.
Can't take away from all the other holidays.
What vintage?
But something about this time just drives me crazy, crazy. It's so hard to explain. I'm not going insane. That's Christmas. Whoa.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Look, we were talking about the fact that Joe Biden and looks like now he's gonna, pay to the piper for
Hunter Biden.
Oh yeah, Hunter Biden, pay to the piper for some of the things that he's done, and as well he should. And so all the other things that was added just doesn't matter. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, the Republicans are horrible at government. They don't want government. They go into government to destroy government and destroy we the people. And I think we need to keep that in mind. Just as an example, I think for some reason we give Republicans credit. And they have a very, very good media, savvy on their side, and messaging on their side. But we give them credit for tying their shoes. We give them credit for crossing the street and not getting hit by a car. Whereas Joe Biden has actually brought this economy back. Joe Biden has actually bringing manufacturing back
so,
and unions
Tom, let me ask you, your thoughts on Hunter Biden and what is, has now come to light.
My thoughts on Hunter Biden, which I feel is just, again, food for fodder, but my thoughts on Hunter Biden are, one, if he did whatever he did, he needs to pay the piper, right? Number two, Hunter Biden said he has no problem having a public forum, everything on the television so the American people can see, which Hunter Biden is a regular American citizen. He has not worked for government at all. But Hunter Biden has said, I will go in public and I will do a public hearing. The Republicans don't want that. They'd rather make up the stories behind closed doors of what actually happens when they ask the questions. So I'm trying to And Hunter Biden has put himself out there and has said, you know what? I will answer all of your questions, but I'll answer them in a public forum. And if the Republicans can't handle that, then that tells me that they're just trying to message this thing and they're just trying to make it into something that it's not. The guy was a crackhead. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Hi. Well, I initially was calling about how if someone says something enough times.
Go ahead. Go
they
ahead.
Start to believe it.
Go ahead.
When we were talking about Trump.
Yeah, and, go ahead. You can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much any politician. I mean, every time they ask Joe Biden something about Hunter and if he's ever talked to any of his business partners, and then they show pictures of him at golfing with them, and he says no, and they're lies and lies and lies, and he just keeps saying lies. So that's one example. But it's across the board. And it's unfortunate for us, you know, for Americans. You know, the Democratic Party also has used racism. And they call somebody a racist. A racist, racist, racist. Trump, racist, racist, racist. And they go on and on with it. So that's, I don't know how we stop that other than electing these people. But then, you know, nobody runs for our government that's, you know, worthwhile. I mean, like, because nobody wants that job. So I don't know how you fix that. The other thing for Tom is Republicans, I usually like what Tom says. But I got to tell you, I don't know what he's talking about. And Hunter Biden is not just it's no different than any of the Trump kids. Hunter Biden rides on Air Force One. He's, you know, goes places with the Vice President Biden and the President Biden. This is something that's not, don't tell us that, you know, he's just a, you know, citizen and, you know, he is involved with the president and goes places with him, and people need to know what's going on. Secondly, for him to say now, oh, well, we can put it out in the public, I'll go publicly and we can show everything. Great. That's what we want. But prior to this, when the New York Times hit the story, when we were in the election year, they hit the story of Hunter Biden. That's not going public with things, with actual facts we have. So you got to step back and take a look and stop saying Republicans this and they want to destroy government and they want to do this. We all need to wake up. We the people, we the government, as Tom says, wake up and figure out how to get some people in there that'll work for us, that really have some like high standards and morals. And I don't know how we do that.
Hey, Julie, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to?
Well, you said a mouthful, Julie. And the last paragraph you stated, I would agree with completely that, you know, unfortunately, politics has turned into a blood sport. And it's very hard to get the people who are worthy of public office and would be worthy of representing us to get involved with that. And many of the people who are worthy are now getting out of government and getting out of office because of the fact that it is this blood sport. But then the rest of it, you know, I think Jared Kushner should be held to the same standard as Hunter Biden with respect to influence peddling and the use of because, you know, there's plenty of evidence of that. And I think what's unfortunate is that ethics in Washington have gotten to be such a gray project, a gray area, that we just aren't getting clarity on either side. And I think what we need are those people who have clarity.
All right, hang on. We'll come to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique.
And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.